This episode is brought to you by Windrose Recovery, a family of premier addiction treatment programs in southeastern Wisconsin. Privately owned, Windrose Recovery offers a full continuum of personalized care for those struggling with addiction, including the Manor for residential treatment, Midwest Detox for inpatient detoxification, and Windrose Counseling for outpatient treatment. With highly personalized treatment focused on trauma, Dr. Chantal Thomas and her expert team offer an authentic experience, creating the kind of deep emotional change that's crucial for long-term recovery. If you or someone you love is struggling with addiction, call Windrose Recovery at 414-409-5300. You can learn more about Windrose Recovery by clicking the link in the show notes or by visiting WindroseRecovery.com. Thank you for listening to The Path to Authenticity. My name's Tom Gentry. I think of this show as the opposite of small talk. You'll hear real conversations with real people who know who they are. We talk about what makes them who they are, how they became who they are, and how we might become truer expressions of who we are. In the Santa Monica Mountains, Her Escape Vortex offers a unique and truly fantastic setting for your next spiritual retreat. The Lavender Garden, the fire pit overlooking the Topanga Canyon sunset, and the Moroccan-furnished yurt on this magical property provide the atmosphere for an inspiring and transformative experience. A sacred place ideal for yoga and wellness retreats, as well as cleansing and healing ceremony of all kinds, Her Escape Vortex is part of a community of people eager for personal and spiritual growth. Visit thepathtoauthenticity.com/her-escape-vortex or click on the link in the show notes for more information. If this is your first time here, thanks for checking it out. If not, thanks for coming back. I'm Tom Gentry. This is The Path to Authenticity. Episode 138 for August 24th, 2021. It's my mom's 91st birthday today. Happy birthday, Martha Gentry. If you didn't listen, I did an episode with my mom for Mother's Day. It's probably the episode I'm most proud of. I just feel really good about it. It got a nice response, and it's just something I'll always cherish. Anyway, I've talked about my career on the podcast quite a bit, I suppose. But the episodes are generally focused on someone else. I haven't really gotten into the day-to-day work that I actually do. I've been thinking about that, and I wanted to showcase some of what I do. But I also feel like I need to let you guys know me a little better. And if there's somebody I can help, I want to be able to do that. So in this episode, I talk to a former client. He's the father of a young man who is a couple years into recovery from a substance use disorder. And he reached out to me and hired me as a consultant to help him and his family get help for his son. So we worked very closely together. At the time, his son was living with him. So it was a difficult set of circumstances. It was over the holidays. And he just needed support. He needed support. He needed guidance. And that's what he got from me. So It happens to be a success story. I mean, his son is doing great. We talk about that a little bit here. But I really love to do this kind of work. When I say this kind of work, I mean specifically working with families to help them get help for their loved ones. So I started working in the addiction treatment industry in 1998. I'm a state and internationally certified substance abuse counselor, and I've done all sorts of different work in the industry, both on the clinical side and on the business side. But what has been most consistent is I've spent a lot of time talking to parents and husbands and wives of people who needed help and giving them guidance. Very early on in my career, I worked in an admissions department at a facility, and have just been in a position for many, many years, for most of my career, to take phone calls from family members who needed help. It's something that's very close to my heart. I have had many family members who needed help. I needed help. And yeah, I just love doing this work. So I thought I would bring on Bill and let you hear from him what his experience was like. And one of the things I'm going to do in the show notes of this episode, I'm going to put a link to my calendar. And if you have a family member who needs help, you can book a 15-minute call with me. I'm happy to talk to you. If I can't help you, there's a good chance I know someone who can. And if I don't, I probably know someone who knows someone who can. So if nothing else, even if I don't do the type of work with you that I did with Bill and his family, that's okay. I'm more than happy to talk to you and steer you in the right direction. So I really appreciate Bill taking the time to do this. Not revealing his last name, not showing a photograph like I ordinarily would with a guest. His son's name's not mentioned. I wanted to do this in a honorable way, and I feel like I was able to do that. And I hope you enjoy it. So here you go, my conversation with Bill. Take a little bit of time and talk about what happened and what your experience was like working with me and what happened. So we spoke for the first time, I think it was 2 years ago on Christmas Eve, if memory serves me. Is that right?
That sounds about right.
So why don't you talk about the circumstances of that phone call?
Let me go a little bit further back and sort of set the stage for you, Tommy, because, you know, although that was the first communication that I'd had with you, it wasn't the first need for that communication with you to surface. I think I always felt like I was fairly sophisticated and in tune. I spent most of my adult career in healthcare and certainly had a very positive feeling towards mental health and substance abuse and recognizing the critical need for care of those people, and had worked actually with a drug counselor earlier in helping to understand an issue that another family member had. And then having grown up and gone to college in the early 70s, you know, the exposure to drugs was not new to me. I certainly had been around it a lot in college, but as an adult, I lived a much more serious lifestyle and had not encountered it. And so when my son began to develop a problem that wasn't readily apparent to me. And I think that probably is not untypical because we all have this great bias for our children. Mm-hmm. And I certainly don't want to take anything away from that, but it does cloud our judgment and clouds our ability to confront sometimes some unpopular truths. But it was really my children, my other children, that had sort of brought this to my attention and wanted me to intervene to do something, or they were going to intervene, but thought it was important for us as a family to deal with it. And at Christmas, we were actually at my sister's house for a family dinner. And my son basically had passed out at the dinner table. And that pretty much brought it to the focus for not just my immediate family, but my extended family. And we knew at that time we had to deal with it. Unfortunately, I just didn't feel well equipped for it. And I believed that I needed some help. And I got a phone call out of the blue from a friend of a friend who heard about this guy named Tom Gentry in South Florida that had been able to help another friend of ours navigate the waters of treatment for substance abuse. And that's when I called you around Christmas time, confronting the truth that I had to deal with. And I learned very early on that parents are biased, that we cannot make good judgments, good decisions for our children because we love them too much. And it's hard to know what's right. And of course, you know, I had been schooled earlier in tough love and knew that I had to stand up and do something about it. But I really wasn't sure what to do. And I wanted to make sure that as much as my wife and I and my other children wanted to help our son, we didn't want to make the wrong decisions and make the mistakes and not help him. And we went through a period early on, as you remember, Tom, where he didn't necessarily embrace the idea that we knew what was best for him.
Yeah.
And it took him a while to get there. But what I found in working with you is you armed me with, one, the best science to deal with my son, and also your experience in dealing with your own issues and your own family that helped me and my wife make some really tough decisions. And then along the way, you introduced us to some people that are really high on my list for some of the finest people I've ever met. And because people began to step up in the system to help us and to help our son and make sure that we made the right decisions. And that went on for a period, probably a couple of weeks, in the various stages of crisis. I guess it sort of culminated on a particularly bad day when you and I and others had talked to my son about participating in an outpatient program here in our hometown that was a really good program with some really fine people, but recognizing the fact that perhaps he needed residential treatment and outpatient was not going to be a satisfaction. And it eventually, and you hear him tell the story now, it was always his idea for residential treatment. I hadn't debated that point with him. I was just glad that he embraced it. But the interventionist at the program here in our hometown came over at a moment of crisis and was able to get our son into a detox program that basically was 3 hours away. And he gave up his afternoon to put him in the car and drive him halfway to the facility where somebody from the facility met them and journeyed the rest of the way. And I know you had numerous conversations with him and a real robust debate over what was the right process and right place for my son to be. And I just think, quite frankly, I think that added to the good decisions that were ultimately made, that my son bought into the solution that was needed. And after his detox, I went and picked him up. But in finding the treatment program, and I guess it's okay for us to mention Void.
Yeah.
Void sent an ambassador who was at one time had been in college in our hometown, but still lived in North Carolina. And he showed up at our house one afternoon when my wife and I are having a particularly difficult time with our problems. And he was like a godsend. I mean, he was absolutely the perfect person to deliver a very important message to us. And he was the same age as our son. So it wasn't like he had a whole lot of experience, but the experience he had was well-placed. And he'd actually had been at Voyage and worked with the people at Voyage and knew the program very well. So I guess it's kind of ironic, don't you think, Tom, that at the end of all this chaos in my life and our lives and the help that you gave us, my son seems to think he got there on his own, you know, which is fine with me. I think that's great because I think that's part of how you continue to grow and improve in dealing with your addiction. You got to own it.
That's the word that came to mind for me.
Yeah. And the fact that he owns it, to me, is just tremendous progress. And he not only owns the disease, he owns the cure, he owns the treatment, he owns the whole program. And it's very evident to those of us that spend time with him now. And his pride, I think, in achieving sobriety for now well over 18 months is just an incredible journey that we've been on. And we're so grateful to you, Tom, because we would not have been there without your guidance and help and understanding, support, and also comfort. I can remember, you know, some difficult days and times, and the phone would ring and you'd be on the other end at just the right time, with just the right words, encouragement, and commitment for us to see this through. And I don't recommend anybody go through this journey alone, especially when you're dealing with a loved one, because of the bias. Love will bias you terribly when dealing with somebody. And you really need that experience. You know, you would never want to go into court as a lawyer representing yourself, because you're always too close to the problem.
Right.
And that's what I think a lot of parents, and certainly in our case, we found ourselves way too close to the problem and unable to really deal with it as rationally as we would like to. And because we are adults, and because we try to make good decisions, and because we, you know, we are educated, you know, we felt it necessary to get a level of expertise that you were able to provide to us. It reassured us that we were making the right decisions, that and your advice was timely and constant throughout this whole process. And when I picked up my son from the detox facility, we flew to West Palm Beach and met you at a restaurant in West Palm Beach. And you actually drove him and me to the facility on the Hope Sound in Florida. And it was a very quick visit. I met some of the staff toward the facility very quickly. And then you were kind enough to give me a ride back to the airport. And I will just say that people at Voyage could not have been better. It was just an outstanding facility. It was just perfect. And we're just really proud of him that he was able to have that opportunity to participate in that program and then did so well in it. He still keeps up with everybody. He participates in the alumni calls. He does the work you have to do constantly to be successful.
He's happy too, right?
Absolutely. I hope no one has to go through it. But having gone through it, I will just tell you, I don't think we could have had a better outcome. And let me knock on some wood here, because it's not over. It's always constant. But it has been a very rewarding to us. And we did the parent program at Voyage for a week, which was very helpful to us to be participating with the team down there and our son, and to understand the process we went through, and meeting other parents that were in the same situations that we were. It's very helpful to us. So the program at Voyage is top notch. I haven't seen a lot of those programs. I don't care to see a lot of them, but I can't imagine that one would be much better than what we saw at Voyage. And we wouldn't have gotten there, Tom, without your knowledge of the field and knowing people that are in this line of work and who's good and who's not so good, and where you need to be. And quite frankly, some of us were a little apprehension about sending somebody with an alcohol and drug problem to South Florida. And I think we had to overcome that bias, because what I've learned over the last year and a half is there's a sober community in that area that is very supportive of each other and really helps people in need get through those programs and to live successful lives. And what it also shows is that you can be down. You can have dug that deep hole for yourself, and there's still a bright future for you, because there's so many people down there that have been there and now have been sober for 10, 15, 20 years and have lived productive and quality lives in their community down there. I can remember being in a restaurant during Parents Week at Voyage, and the guy that owns the restaurant, which was crowded and a very successful place in Jupiter, just came by and said that he had been sober for 23 years. It was just amazing to see the people that have conquered their problems and overcome these difficulties and to see the success they were having with their lives. So I would say this, that we wouldn't have gotten there. We wouldn't have been where we are today had we not stumbled onto Tom Gentry. And it was really just happenstance that we were able to get your name. And then I looked you up on the internet and you looked like you were okay. But after a couple conversations, I knew that we had the right person. And you came highly recommended by the friend of a friend that you had helped previously. And that young man is a very successful attorney in this area and has really gone on to distinguish himself. And I knew if you could help him, you could help us too. Mm. And so it's been challenging, but it's also been comforting to know there are so many people out there who want to help us and want to help our son. And it's one reason that I'm doing this podcast is because I feel like people who've had this experience, you know, universally want to help others
right. Find
a way forward. And so this is my moment, as small as it is, of hopefully making some contribution.
From my point of view, I got this phone call and you were very distraught. I mean, it was definitely a difficult day. And one of the things you didn't mention is that your son was living in your home at the time, which when that's going on, when someone is in active addiction in your home, in a sense, they're kind of holding you hostage. It's a pretty hard thing to unravel. And so I could tell you were in a lot of pain. And what I tried to do was get a sense of, you know, obviously he needed treatment and he needed it quickly. That seemed apparent. But to get an idea of who he was, what he loves, what gets him going in life, and get an idea of where he might do well. And we talked about three different facilities. And I had a couple conversations with him in the middle of the process. And at one point thought I had him convinced. And then ultimately he wanted to try the intensive outpatient program, which was clinically appropriate because he had never had treatment before. So he deserved that opportunity to do it on an outpatient level. And although I had a pretty good idea that it wasn't going to work, and it didn't. And I, you know, we had a plan in our back pockets of Voyage, partially because they get guys outside doing stuff, fishing, and your son, that's part of what he loves to do. And, but also the owner, the director, I have deep ties. I've known these guys for more than 10 years, one of them 20, you know. I trust them. That's the thing. Like, I knew that if I sent someone's son to them, that they'd be taken care of. And when I try to do this with families, I always want to send the person to a place where I'm pretty confident that if something goes wrong, I can make a phone call and somebody will pick up the phone on the other end, even if it's like a Friday night or whatever, because this is a difficult time for families. So I knew he'd be looked after. I knew that I would have a voice to the extent that I needed it. And I knew that they had a really good family program and that you guys could benefit from that. And just the process that we went through, I essentially was a consultant to you and feel like, you know, I could have sent you to an interventionist, which could have gotten it done, but you'd spent a lot more money. And it might not have gone any better. And it might not have happened any more quickly. And I feel like I was able to provide you the emotional support you needed while we talked through this and worked it out together, how we were going to make this happen from the first conversation to the admission.
Tom, you're right. You were very much a consultant to us through this process, but at the same time, we were united in our goal, which was to help our son. Mm-hmm. And that was always our focus, and that was always your focus. And what you helped us do and help us understand how we could best do that. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have gotten there on our own, I don't think. We may have gotten there, but it would have been very fortunate, very lucky, and we would have, you know, probably made a lot of mistakes along the way. But because we had your guidance and your experience, it just made a huge difference. And it gave me the at least the satisfaction or the confidence that I was doing my best to help him. Mm-hmm. Because I recognized the shortcomings in my experience in education and background, and I went out and found the person who could make up the difference and help us get through this. And that's really how I saw you through this process. And then ultimately, I ended up having a really good friend. And my wife and I, to this day, think of Tom Gentry as one of our very best friends because he was there for us when we needed a really good friend to help us. And what really endeared you to all of us, Tom, is the fact that you put our son first. And I don't know about other parents, but anybody who helped their children and put their children on the right course has a special place in every parent's heart.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, like you mentioned, it was very much a mutual process because one of the things that struck me about you immediately is you were really clear about, I need help. I can't do this. And having been on this end of the phone many, many times over the years, it doesn't always happen that way. But mom or dad, they might take or heed advice for a day or two and then disappear. It's not everyone's as consistent and decisive about putting it to some degree in someone else's hands the way that you did and entrusting me and my point of view with this. I mean, you listened to what I write. I mean, there are probably a couple times when you might have talked to him sooner than I would have liked you to or whatever, but we figured it out and you heard me. And I think one of the things that families need to understand is if you're going to pay someone to help you, let them help you. And it's the same with these treatment facilities. If you're going to send a family member to a medical facility, what good is it going to do if you don't expect them to complete treatment, follow the staff's advice, follow the aftercare plan? I mean, if you're not going to do it and stick with it. And I think one of the really good things about you handling it the way that you did is that you talked about how parents just aren't in the right place to be able to have a clear head about these things. And the way I see it is that as parents, we want to believe in our kids. We don't want to see them as someone who has a problem like this. And when they tell us they can stop, they've got it, we want to believe them. It's just almost never true when they'll tell you, you know, I got this under control, I don't need help. It's just almost never true. And I see a lot of times, instead of approaching the problem head on the way that you did, families might go through this, might fight their way through this for 3 or 4 treatment episodes over the course of a few years before they call someone like me to help them. And I feel like by that time, it's made it harder for everyone.
I don't want your listeners to think that this was an easy process because there are a lot of discussions along the way, outpatient versus inpatient, 30 days versus 60 days. I mean, there were some finer points that needed to be worked out. And that's pretty much how you have to design the program, I've learned, in accordance to the person in need. In our son's case, it was clearly residential treatment was needed, and clearly 30 days was not going to be enough. Mm-hmm. And what Voyage made me a believer in is that you've got to go the longer period of time in order to have the most likelihood of success. And a 60-day program is twice as good as a 30-day program. And the opportunity for success after 60 days is higher than just after 30 days. that's something I learned through this process that I had no idea. You know, I'd seen the Sandra Bullock movie 28 Days, and I thought everybody went for 28 days, and that was it. And then I learned 28 days doesn't make it for most people. You need that time in a succession. You don't need to keep coming back every year for 28 days.
One of the things that has been established clearly with data is that the longer a person is exposed to some type of treatment, the longer the duration, the more likely they are to remain abstinent over time. So the longer the treatment, the better, almost always. You know, it's never like, oh, well, we don't want to give them too much. It just doesn't work that way. It just doesn't.
Another discussion point we had among ourselves and including our son in that discussion was, okay, you've done your 60 days at Voyage. What do you do next? Mm-hmm. And the importance of that discharge period where you're living in sober living community is really important.
A lot of times what I'll tell families, and I'll generally say, you know, I'm telling you this, and you're probably not going to want to hear it, and you probably don't want to tell your son or daughter this, but what you should expect is to let him go for a year. Let him go through a year of all the milestones that come up in a year, and to get through that sober. It just takes time. It takes time and dedication and commitment to really get over some humps in life and to do it without having used. And it's a lot easier for someone to do that in a protected environment where they know they're not going to get away with getting high than it is if they're out on their own. It just is.
And you know, Tom, that's not unlike a physical illness. I have a family member that had a very serious physical issue and some serious surgery. And she was told that it would take 12 months for her to recover from the surgery. And so it's not unexpected that it should take longer than 28 or 60 days to recover from an addiction.
Well, Bill, listen, I've always felt like I think it's a privilege to do this kind of work, to be at a place in someone's life when they have an opportunity. First of all, they're a lot of times at their worst, and they're at a place where they can have monumental change take place and miracles happen, and to get to be there and witness it and be a part of it. But also, I hope this came across from the first conversation with me that I don't take for granted the weight of the responsibility, and that it's an honor to have someone like you entrust someone like me with their son. And I take it seriously, and I appreciate the opportunity to work with you and your family. And I'm really glad that this is one of the success stories, you know, that here a couple of years have gone by. We've met for lunch, and it's been really nice. It's been really nice to become friends. And I got to watch your son celebrate his first anniversary and be there to witness that and to see how well he's doing in recovery. And it's a gift. It's all a gift. It really is.
Tom, you're far too kind to us, because it was you that came into our lives and made such a big difference and helped us when we were really very vulnerable. And I don't think my wife and I at any time doubted your sincerity and your dedication and commitment to help us get through this. And I think it made a big difference. It made it a lot easier to trust you and your recommendations, which all turned out to be great. And then the people you introduced us to all turned out to be just such a very high caliber of people that it was very comforting knowing that we had you there with us. And I'll just tell you that I can't imagine going through this as a parent without having somebody like a Tom Gentry helping you make these very difficult decisions, because they are not easy. And the fact that somebody you love just makes it incredibly complicated and complex to come up with the right answer.
Well, thank you, Bill. I appreciate you taking the time to do this with me.
Thank you. Thank you.
advocacy proudly supports the iSpeak Media Foundation, advancing media literacy education through an evolving series of outreach programs within the communities that need it most. For more information, visit iSpeakMedia.org. There you have it. Thanks again to Bill. Again, if you need help or you have a family member who needs help, there's a link in the show notes to my calendar. Go there, set up a time, we can talk. If there's something I can do to help you, I will. Also, if you're interested, I'll put a link in the show notes for a document I created called 10 Tips for Families Facing Addiction. Just stuff that people don't know. I just wanted to create something that was sort of basic inside knowledge that can help families. This thing that Bill had to deal with, that my family has had to deal with at times, it's really, really painful. Families don't know what to do. They need help getting help. And that's what this is about. It's about helping them get help. So, if you enjoyed this or you know someone who'd benefit from this, please forward it to them. Try to make it really easy to do that at thepathtoauthenticity.com. If you care to, please leave a rating or a review with Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, wherever you listen, whatever they'll let you do, like, follow, rate, review, every little bit helps. Want to thank the show's sponsors, The Manor and Windrose Recovery. Want to thank Wendy Chen with Equivox, Safa Kagan and Her Escape Vortex. I want to thank the band Punk Rock Opera, whose music you hear throughout the show. Their songs are used with permission from the artist under a Creative Commons license. If you go to the Patreon page, I have lots of patron-only content. I do a little mini episode every Saturday. Most of the earlier episodes of the show are only available to Patreon patrons. You can become a patron at this point for $1 a month. So yeah, again, every little bit helps. It all helps me keep doing this. Thanks for listening. Check me out on Clubhouse. I got stuff going on all the time. I'm doing a room every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Most of the time I'm doing rooms at 10 a.m. Eastern on Saturdays. Having a lot of fun with that. Cool stuff coming up there. So hope you guys have a great week. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If there's one person out there who I can help as a result of this, it was worth every bit of effort. So hope you keep listening and keep coming back. Be nice.
Hey, we need a guitar player.
This episode was brought to you by Equivox. For digital marketing or web design services, visit Equivox.com.